Thank you, Valerie. Stand for our scripture reading, please, and pick up your Bibles. Open them to Colossians chapter 1 and follow along as Tom reads Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I thought I had it in my head. Yes, 1 through 8. Colossians 1, 1 through 8.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Amen. Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is faithful, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tom, for reading that. I'd like to suggest we remain standing as we sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus, and then Children's Church is dismissed. Number 127, as we remain standing, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, as Children's Church is dismissed.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall it praise begin? Taking away my burden, wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, sing it greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost, by it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. The wonderful grace of Jesus reached. You need this. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. for the wonderful grace of Jesus. I think we ought to sing together. Oh, wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful fountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name.
Wow.
Everybody take
good singing.
Bill, would you please come? I know that God has laid upon your heart a message for today, and you have a half hour.
Okay.
I don't know that that is enough time, but we...
I'll be done.
No, you do what God leads you to do. We have enjoyed knowing Bill and Terry for over 25 years now, and we're glad for that, and have appreciated their ministry in many settings, from men's retreats at camp to certainly Bible conferences and family big game banquets like we had last Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
But also while we assisted Evangel Baptist Church at that time in Bradenton, Florida, now Lakewood Ranch, we got to assist the church with the construction and other aspects, including Bible studies, there under their ministry. And so we got to sit in and listen to his preaching and enjoy that for a year and a half at least. And so I'm very appreciative of how God's led in your lives. Open the scriptures and share what God's laid on your heart.
Amen. Thank you. It's a delight to be here. We put up a real basic display over here. And if you would pick up one of our prayer cards and pray for us, we would appreciate that. It's been an exciting month. We left March 1st and headed west, celebrated our 51st anniversary on the road, which happens frequently that we'd celebrate an anniversary on the road. We got back Tuesday, this past Tuesday, had parts of a couple days in our cabin, came up here. We'll get back Monday, and then we take off Monday. I'll be preaching a sportsman's banquet. You guys can pray for us. It's the largest one I've ever done. I did it last year. They had over 50 displayers. And this year, I think they're scheduled to have 70. It's a large church. They see people saved all the time. And we'll be there Friday night. So pray for us Friday night. Then we have, or is it Saturday, Terry? I write it down so I don't have to remember.
We'll
so
Friday night.
We'll be,
the
whole day, and they'll have everything from fish and game departments. The states up there are not like the states out here. So they'll have fish and game departments from New Hampshire. It's in New Hampshire. They'll have them there from Maine. They'll have them there for various states all around in Massachusetts, possibly Connecticut. And then they have fly tying clinics. They have fly fishing clinics and just virtually anything you could think of. Like I say, they have 50 people there who are displaying something. And it's really a good time. Please pray for us. And then the next week, we will be at a sportsman's banquet in New York. So we'll, that's one trip. We put those two trips together. And then we get home on the 12th of April, and we're home until the 1st of June, and we take off for New Hampshire yet again. So we'll appreciate your prayers. If you would turn in your copy of the scriptures where we read, thank you for reading, my brother. You did a good job. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at that, and here's where we're going today. We're going to be looking at this scripture. That's most important.
Amen.
And I'm going to have emphasis. You'll see the scripture up here. Pastor Matt and Winetta, you will remember Mrs. Crankshaw.
Yes.
They were wonderful people. Crankshaw, she wasn't cranky, but she looked cranky. She did. And she came to me one day and said, Pastor... And we were close. We loved them. Pastor, I'll tell you what's wrong with the church. I said, whoa, I better listen. She says, you put the scripture up there. And she pointed to the screen. You put the scripture up there so we don't use our Bibles. You put the scripture on notes. I almost always teach with notes, and I'm not teaching with notes today because you'll have it up here. And she says, and so we don't use our Bibles. And I said, Mrs. Crankshaw, the fact that I put the scripture up here doesn't mean close your Bible. You're getting it twice. And then when you have the notes in front of you, you're getting it yet a third time. So I say that to say I'm going to be sharing pictures of individuals who've come to Christ. That's not the main point. Don't mess the message. Hopefully that will enhance the messages I endeavor to preach. And so be sure as we look at these pictures that you say, praise the Lord, look what God has done. So the passage of scripture here, I just love it. This passage is jam-packed full of information on what the gospel is and what the gospel does. I love phrases in scripture that we use. Do you realize that as Baptists, now I realize we're biblicists, that is, we believe the Bible. But I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. As Baptists, we don't believe anything that's not in the Word of God. And when I see phrases, Brandon, thanks for sharing this morning. Look at verse 4. We see phrases in Scripture that we would use. I might say to you, Brandon, wow, I'm so excited for it since I heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. You see it right there in verse 4? Since I heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We believe biblical. We're a biblical people. And so as we look at this, we're going to work our way through this passage. I'm not even going to read it yet again. Work our way through the passage. And just read it from here in verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. When we see the word hope biblically, it means confidence. It doesn't mean, oh, I hope so. We're driving to Kalispell tonight and spending the night with Shrepfers, a different Shrepfers. And I hope the road is clear. That's not what this word means. This word means confidence, assurance, a rock-ribbed assurance. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. I'm not going to point them out now, but we're already looking at things here of what the gospel is and what the gospel does. Which has come unto you. The gospel has come unto you, and as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit. What does the gospel do? It brings forth fruit. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when our brother gave testimony today of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, it brings forth fruit. The gospel brings forth fruit. We'll tie that in to our relationship to it. As it doth also in you. And he says, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Amen. As you also learned of Epaphras. The Apostle Paul was a church planter. This letter is written by the Holy Spirit of God through the hand of the Apostle Paul. We might say Paul wrote it. We might say God wrote it. Either one would be correct. And he says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our fellow servant. And what did Epaphras do? He says, he's a faithful minister unto you, unto Christ. He declared unto us your love in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul was a church planter. He didn't start this church in Colossae. In fact, if you glance, you don't need to go there now, but if you glance at chapter 2, verse 1, you'll find out that Paul said, I haven't even seen your face in the flesh. I pray for you people, he said, but he didn't start that church. Epaphras was the faithful minister of Christ who started the church. So I want to see three basic facts as we get rolling today. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Let's understand that. Jesus Christ did a lot of other stuff. It's not bad. It's not wrong. It wasn't the main purpose of Jesus. Look at the verse. Christ Jesus came, or in 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Okay, we should go, whoa, what is it? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world. So here we have it. Jesus, why did you come into the world? The Apostle Paul, why did you tell Timothy you came into the world? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He healed. His primary goal in ministry was not healing. He taught. Was a wonderful teacher. Think of Matthew chapter, or Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 5. We see the Word of God, Jesus, teaching the Word of God. What an amazing thing. So he taught the Word of God. We don't want to minimize that. But Lord, give us the big picture. Why did you come into the world? Came into the world to save sinners. If it was that important to the Lord Jesus Christ, should be important to you, to me, as well. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous. So there it is again. I came. Ooh, why did you come? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Son of Man is come. There we have it again. Okay, tell me. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save
that which was lost. The Apostle Paul, in writing to those people of Corinth, wrapping up the letter, and there's another chapter, but yet in chapter 15, as he's wrapping up the letter, he said, I delivered unto you first of all. That doesn't mean it was the first thing out of his mouth, but it means as a matter of importance, as a matter of priority, I delivered unto you first of all. He's looking over saying, well, what all did he teach? What did we learn from the writings of the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit of God? We learned about sinfulness of man, his total depravity. We learned about God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. We learned about end times. We learned all kinds of things. But he said, I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And if you look in that passage, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. If you look in that passage, you'll see, and this is the gospel. So if someone says, what is the gospel? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, those first verses, and it'll tell you those three things. So looking over my shoulder, the Apostle Paul said, out of all the wonderful things that I taught you, I delivered as a matter of importance the gospel. And so we really realize that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And then we need to realize that it's our job to bring others to Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus said unto them, come after me. I love this. The Lord is still doing this with me. We lead a lot of people to Christ, but the Lord is still doing this. He wants to do it with you. Come after me, come unto me, and I will make you to become. I love that wording. I will make you to become fishers of men. So it's not get out there and good luck. I hope you can do all right. He says, no, you come unto me. That is to come and get saved. But then in that process of getting to know him better, he will make us fishers of men. Wow. I love fishing. I was up in Alaska. And I saw this guy was putting gas in the car. I was up there for revival meetings, but I was putting gas in the car. And this kid is going around, and he's got his phone out. And he says, look at this, look at this. And he comes up to me, and he shows me a picture of a big fish. He said, I just caught this fish. See, I can relate to the guy doing that. Terry says, I go around showing strangers pictures of our cabin. And that's only happened a few times. And so I'm looking at that. He says, whoa, where'd you get that? And he said, right here in Willow Creek. And then one of us said to the other, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, going fishing with you. Or he said, going fishing with you. So I went fishing. I caught a 30-inch rainbow on my fly rod. Wow. Let me tell you all about it. No, I'm not going to tell you all about it. But there's more to that story that I'll tell you about as we get into the message. And so understand, we should be bringing other people. It's fine to go fishing, but we need to be fishers of men. And then the next thing we see is that we should be discipling. I'm at Faith Baptist Bible College. Terry and I go. We've been going probably for 15 years now. They give us a week. And we teach in the school, and I preach in the seminary. I didn't do that on purpose. I don't know if that was a Freudian slip or what, but I did it there, and they laughed. They said it was okay, so... So we must be discipling. And I was at Faith Baptist Bible College, and they had a Bible conference, a different setting. And the emphasis of the conference was not evangelism, it was discipleship. And the chair of the missions got up, who was running the whole thing, and he says, this may sound like heresy, but I believe that discipleship is as important as evangelism. And I said, doesn't sound like heresy to me. Sounds like biblical teaching to me. We need to evangelize, but then we need to disciple. I'll try not to mention you again, Brandon, but you know what the Bible says about you now? It says you're a baby. That sure offends me. Shouldn't offend you. And babies need milk. The basic teachings of the Word of God. And that's what you're going to be getting. Praise the Lord for that. And in fact, that's part of what we're doing even right here today. So we should be discipling others. My goal? I'll tell you ahead of time. When I prepare my sermons, I like to ask myself the question, so what? Now, I'm going to preach from Colossians chapter 1. You have the right, not in a rude way, not in a crude way, but you have the right to respectfully say, so what? What's that got to do? This guy's going to teach. I don't even know this guy. What's it got to do with me? Well, I'm telling you ahead of time. I want you to go home with stuff in your pockets. Spiritual truth. I'm telling you ahead of time where we're going. My goal today is to get your eyes off of yourself and your own inabilities when it comes to bringing others to Christ. Get your eyes off yourself and put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your eyes off yourself and put your eyes on the gospel and the power of the gospel and what the gospel is and what the gospel does. That's what we need to focus on. So I notice on the back of your bulletin, you can take notes. Mark that down somewhere. That's what we're doing. First of all, the gospel is truth. Now, I could say the gospel is truth and go right into a story or right into an illustration. But you need to know that I'm saying the gospel is truth because the Bible says the gospel is truth. And I could teach the same stuff without the Bible, and it would still be truth. It wouldn't have the impact of the Bible. It wouldn't have the impact of you following along, even though it's up here, and looking and saying, where does he get that? Where does he get the idea that the gospel is truth? As he says, and you heard therefore, you heard before, the word of the truth of the gospel, and knew the grace of God in truth. Dear people, when we share the gospel with someone, something that will help us take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on God is the fact that the gospel is truth. You're not just inviting someone to come to your church. Well, incidentally, invite them to church. But it's more important to invite them to Christ. And that takes time. That takes relationship. That takes some nurturing, even to get to that place where people will believe what we're saying because of our testimony, partly, but ultimately because of the Word of God. And so when you go out there armed, I'm not just inviting somebody to my church. You're not inviting them to your belief system. You're inviting them to embrace the truth. Somebody told me one time, I took it as a compliment, you're so narrow-minded, you can look through a keyhole with both eyes at the same time. Well, if you're going to be narrow-minded, let me address that. If you're going to be narrow-minded hiding behind the Word of God. Don't be narrow-minded about what kind of vehicle you drive. We can be. Don't be narrow-minded. Back in the last church where we were, where both the Schrepfers were and the Janungs, you were there for, I'm thinking, 4 years. Because he came down ahead of time and helped us get our permits. And so you know some of these people. I had two retired missionary women, never married, having an argument in church in the foyer over whether they should see a chiropractor or a medical doctor. And they were going at it, and I'm exaggerating a little bit when I said they almost came to blows. They didn't. But they were hot, and they were, you know, don't want to go to a chiropractor. They're a bunch of quacks. Well, my chiropractor knows more than the medical doctor does, and we should go to a chiropractor, and we should go to a medical doctor, and they're butting heads. And I got between them and said, ladies, first of all, remember your setting. I mean, we're in church here. You don't need to be having an argument here. But other than that, we're not talking about the virgin birth. We're not talking about the inspiration of Scripture. We're not talking about the blood atonement. We're not talking about the soon return of Jesus Christ. Why do I mention those things? Because those are things that we should be narrow-minded about. Right. We're not talking about the inspiration of Scripture, that all Scriptures give by inspiration of God. But when you hide behind the Word of God, and those are the things we're narrow-minded about. So don't be narrow-minded about this other stuff. But the gospel is truth. You see how that should cause me to take my... I could never lead anyone to Christ. Whoa! You're dealing with the truth. You're not dealing with opinions. This is Gary. I got a text from Gary yesterday. So I'm sitting here reading my Bible. Just wanted to thank you for all that you and Terry have done in our lives. Gary came to church. After about the third Sunday, he says, I'm ready to get baptized. I said, let's talk. Now, we're pastoring a church 100 miles away. We're in Anaconda, and the church is in Helena. And those are crazy circumstances. And then they account for me being traveling like this. They knew that before they asked me to be their pastor. And Gary coming to church, and I'm ready to get baptized. And I said, well, let's meet. So we drove toward Helena, and he drove a little bit over the pass. And we met for breakfast, and I shared the gospel with him. I told the owner there, at a little restaurant. I've since learned it's famous. If you Google the Avon restaurant in Avon, Montana, it's pretty famous. And I said, we'll be careful. It was Saturday morning. We'll be careful not to take up too much time. And if it gets crowded where people are waiting for our table, I said, we're going to have a Bible study, but we'll go outside. She says, you'll do no such thing. She says, if somebody needs to wait, if you're having a Bible study, you have your Bible study. And Gary received Jesus Christ as his Savior. New news to him. Didn't know anything about that. Gary received Jesus Christ. His boys were there. They would have prayed too. You know, boys are influenced by their dad, and I didn't want that. I said, are you listening? Did you see that your dad accepted Christ? I want them to see a difference in their dad's life. Ultimately, I want them to embrace the gospel. And so we waited a number of weeks, and I think it was probably 5 weeks ago yesterday that we went and had breakfast. This time Terry came with. She's teaching them Sunday school. She says they're like little sponges. They told her all enthusiastically, we listen to Jesus music now before we go to sleep at night. We bought them a Bible, bought them a real Bible. We bought them a kid's Bible, but then we bought them a real Bible. And I mean, it's scripture. So we went and met with the kids. I said, I want to talk to your boys about receiving Christ. And he says, I think they're ready. We talk about it. And so we went and shared the gospel, and both those little men accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Boy, it's a good thing I'm so skilled. No. I'm dealing with the truth. I'm not going in there with some opinions. I'm not going in there with some kind of propaganda. I'm not trying to get them to join the Boy Scouts. I'm trying to get them to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And the gospel's truth. Dear people, take your eyes off yourself. Put your eyes on the gospel, what the gospel is, what the gospel does. The gospel is good news. Look at verse 5 again. The truth of the gospel. The word gospel means good news. The gospel is good news. When we invite someone to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we're not inviting them to give up. You know, you can come to the Lord. You need to give up this, and you need to give up this, and you need to give up this. I can say, what list of things did you have to give up before you accepted Christ? You know how I worded that? I didn't say, what things have you given up since you've accepted Christ? I have that list. There's no list to give up before you accept Christ. I'd be like having a broken leg and saying, well, before you can go to the hospital, you got to get your leg fixed. No, if you have a broken leg, you go to the hospital. This is a hospital. This church is a hospital. And you come, and would God have things in your life that you might need to give up? Likely so, but not in order to get saved. You give it up because you are already saved. Huge, huge difference. And we have major denominations, and I'm not here to talk about them. I'll only say this much. Have major denominations that it's not, I started to say essentially teach. That's wrong. We have major denominations that teach you'll get your way to heaven by doing good works. It doesn't happen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on Jesus Christ, his faith shall be counted as righteousness. So it's not about good works. We don't want to go to the other extreme and say we're Baptists, we believe in good works. We believe in good works after you get saved. We very much believe in good works, but not in order to get saved. We believe in good works after we get saved. So the gospel is good news. See how this takes our eyes off ourselves? I'm not going to somebody and saying, you need to give up, you need to give up, you need to give up, you need to give up. But the gospel is good news. This is the guy that I met in Alaska. His name is Mason. It was September of 21 when I was up there for meetings. I went back last year, and I'm going back again this year. Terry and I go up there and have opportunity to preach, and she teaches. And so he's showing me his fish, and what are you doing tomorrow? I'm going fishing with you. And I shared the gospel with him. Have you ever heard this before? No. Do you have any idea of the things that I'm telling you? Have you ever heard any of this? Never heard any of it. It's all news to me. I said, well, I'm coming back in September of 22 for special meetings at Big Lake Baptist Church. I'm about 15 minutes from Big Lake Baptist Church. And I said, would you come to the meetings? He says, I probably will. So I kept track of him for a whole year, texting him scripture, letting him know that I'm praying for him. And weeks before, I would remind him, remember, I'm coming. He came to church on Sunday. Well, we went fishing on Saturday, but then he came to church on Sunday. And we're having dinner afterwards, and he kind of dropped out of sight, and I hoped he hadn't gone home. And then he comes right up to me, and he says, I just received Jesus Christ as my Savior. This man just led me to Christ, and I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Before we left, we set up some discipleship with him, with a couple in the church, a couple that are old enough to be his parents. I knew they were both fishermen. I knew they were both hunters. What I didn't know is they're both trappers. And so we're praying along. You can pray for his discipleship. I would appreciate that very much. The gospel is good news. I didn't give him a list of what he had to give up. The gospel is universal. What do I mean by that? Let me say, even before I put that up there, in our ministry, by God's grace, I hope you hear me say every time I say that we've seen, I hope you're hearing me give a testimony of praise to God continually. That's in Hebrews 13, verse 15. He says, but to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, that is me saying, this guy got saved, this guy got saved, this one got saved, this one got saved. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so what do I mean when it's universal? I mean, don't you pick and choose. We've seen two Jehovah Witnesses accept Christ. And those dear Jehovah Witness people, yeah, I said it right. Those are people that Jesus Christ died for. Don't be rude. Don't be crude. Be strong. Take over, hijack the situation, the circumstances. They're coming to your house. The conversation, you take charge. And you want to talk about two things. The deity of Christ and the resurrection. Forget all that other stuff. Because Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt believe with thy mouth, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, what's that? The deity of Christ. The Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. There's a resurrection. Thou shalt be saved. And they deny both of them. Incidentally, same way with Mormons. They deny both of those. And those scriptures tell us you can't deny those things and be saved. And so take charge. The universal. Don't you dare pick and choose who you think are candidates for salvation. We've seen some of the most unusual people come to Christ. This is Cody. Cody got saved in the church in Helena not too many months ago. Virtually all of these have come to Christ since September. And one will be, there'll be a couple exceptions. But the young guy is Cody, and he got saved and just moved to Alaska. And he's about 15 miles from Pastor Ben, Pastor Matt. And so we're working to get that nailed down and see if we can get the information there. I need to text him again, and he's a wonderful young man. This other guy, this is Terry's uncle, beloved uncle, one of our favorites, 89 years old. We left California Sunday afternoon, and spent the night at their house in Nevada. Pardon me? Just over the border. Yep. In fact, you go into Nevada to go to their house, and you come out of Nevada to get back on the road. And we're sitting talking. I love the Holy Spirit leading. He leads all the time. I have never had a more natural conversation about accepting Christ as Savior. They said, we're watching this guy on television. Do you know him? And I said, no. Is he a religious guy? Yeah, he's a religious guy. I said, okay. Does he tell you you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they both said yes and nodded their heads. I said, wow, that's good. I said, have you received Christ as Savior? And at the same time, she said yes and he said no. And then he looked at her. And I said, you were surprised when she said yes. And he said, I was. And then she shared that she accepted Christ. Just haven't talked about it. I sat down next to him and went through the plan of salvation. Uncle Wendy, would you accept Jesus Christ? Is this familiar? Yes. Now, it wasn't before they started watching this guy on television. Is this familiar to you? Yes, it is. Will you receive Christ as Savior? I will. Wow. And so just last Monday night, Uncle Wendy accepted Christ as Savior. Wow, what a thrill. See, you don't see many older people come to Christ. I do. I sometimes wonder if we shoot ourselves in the foot. Because, you know, somebody's 80 years old, their mind's already made up. Really? Some people who are 80 or 89 years old will tell you, look at my car. That's the last car I'm ever going to buy. Look at this house. We'll never move again. It's the last house we'll ever own. What are they telling me? And so it's our opportunity to come in and say, this is what the Bible says. Will you accept Christ as your Savior? The gospel goes into all the world. The gospel's productive. Do you see how we're taking our eyes off ourselves? It says, and bringeth forth fruit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. What brings forth fruit? The gospel that he said earlier you've received. It brings forth fruit. When I was president of Continental Baptist Missions, I would write to Matt and say, how many people have you led to Christ? Never once. Never once did I do that. I might say, are you faithful sharing the gospel? How many times did I write to the missionaries and say, you need to be productive? Never once. The gospel's productive. The gospel brings forth fruit. So it's a legitimate question for pastor to say to you, let's be sure we share the gospel. Sometimes we just almost invite people to come to Christ. Or the term that I use is pert near. We pert near ask them to come to Christ. Give them a track. Say, come to our church. Nothing wrong with that. But that's pert near sharing the gospel. You know pert near Perkins? Anyone know pert near Perkins? They called him pert near Perkins, for unless the booger lied, he'd pert near done most anything that he had ever tried. He pert near wed an heiress. He pert near roped a bear. He pert near was scalped by Comanches and almost lost his hair. But one day, pert near Perkins, they kind of told him real rough, you're working with an outfit now that pert near ain't enough. And the poem goes on. You can look it up. Don't look it up now. Dear friends, do invite people to church. Do give them a tract. But don't just, that's pert near. That's okay. That's the start. All right, I sure hope you read this. Go over the track with them. Get something you trust. I have this. It's my personal business card. And it's got my name here, Sweet William. It's got CBM on this one. I have other ones that have Berean Baptist Church. And then it's got a personal note from me. And then you open the inside, and everything you see there in quotes is right out of Scripture. And I see people most frequently, most people we've led to Christ could not have found the book of John. And you'll find them. What country are you from? United States of America. Most people we've led to Christ couldn't find the book of John. So that's a tragedy. No, don't. When I lead someone to Christ, these people, as we're discipling them, we lead them to Christ, have them put a bookmark in the table of contents. And turn to the book of John. They don't know where John. Look, go ahead. Don't be embarrassed. Look at the table of contents. Turn to John. We got a rancher. I'll show you in a minute. I said, go. Let's go to 1 John. And he's. I got it because we take turns reading. I got it. And he's starting to read. And I said, oh, excuse me. I said, that's John. We're in 1 John, which I've explained before. Oh, and he said, there's another one. I said, yeah, there's four of them altogether. And then he'll say, and Terry said, boy, have you noticed that he's getting around the Bible a lot better. Had no knowledge at all. He's getting around the Bible now. We're having Bible studies every Monday night. And he'll say, is that the big book or the little book? The big book's the Old Testament and the little book's the New Testament. I'll say, turn to the book of Psalms. Is that the big book or the little book? And don't be embarrassed. Look at that table of contents. It brings forth fruit. The gospel is productive. You know what that does to me when I go to witness to someone? There's no pressure. Because I don't have to be productive. I need to be faithful. This is precious. Witness to some of these people for a year. The one, you know, I mentioned Mason, the fishing guy. Witness to Terry's sister for over 50 years. Seemingly getting nowhere. Friends with her. She went up to Dixon with us. We saw some people saved that morning in Dixon, and we're driving home, and she says, Bill, I've never done what you asked those people to do. I said, well, let's get a good night's rest. It was late. We'd stopped and seen your other sister. And tomorrow morning, the three of us will have a Bible study. And we did, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. Please pray for Betty. She's 71 years old and just been diagnosed with some form of dementia. I stopped to see her the other day. I stopped and see her, give her a big hug, and assure her that we're praying for her, spend a little time with her. She's out the house. She wants to know, you know, when are you home? She can't remember. So let me know when you're home, and I'll come out. And I said, okay, we'll do that. This other guy, this is Terry's cousin, Jer. I witnessed to Jer since we were 19 years old, working for the Anaconda Company, working in the cab of an overhead crane that covered a building about, you could have probably put 4 football fields in that building. And we're in an overhead crane about 4 stories above and running everything. And the crane would, the cab of the crane was probably from here to here. And then from here down this way, probably to here. And we spent, why are you telling us that? Spent 8 hours a day together up in that crane. We were both crane operators. And witnessed to him. Got nowhere. He's rebuilding his life, staying on our property over by Anaconda. Comes down the house all the time. Came down one morning and he says, I'm ready to talk. I'd continued to share the gospel. Never quit sharing the gospel with him. Terry disappeared. What's with that? She was texting people. My cousin Jer is here. And Bill's sharing the gospel with him again. I think he's ready. Would you pray? And Jer accepted Christ. We began Bible studies, discipleship twice a week. Then 3 times a week. Then before he went down to Arizona, he winters in Arizona. We're having Bible studies 5 times a week, discipleship Bible studies. He's so excited. I'm gonna go down there and lead my sister to Christ. And he was just surprised. She wasn't, how could anyone refuse this? I'll just share this with her and she'll get saved, not realizing he'd refused it for decades. And I'm gonna talk to my mother, my stepmom, and she'll get saved. And turns out stepmom is going to church with them. They're in a good church down there. The gospel is productive. You don't witness to somebody and then you give up. 50 years. Wow. It brings forth fruit. And he says, since the day you heard of it. Oops. It tells of God's grace. I've known some worldly men. I met this guy. His name is Tristan. Tristan was 24 years old when I met him 2 years ago. Owner of the pawn shop in Anaconda and a pawn shop in Helena. I buy at pawn shops. My sheriff's department tells me I'm safer buying at a pawn shop than I am a garage sale. I never thought of that, Moneta. Maybe that pot you bought was stolen. You bought it at a garage sale, right? I just mentioned it in passing.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, you're welcome. We're going to have corned beef today, and I'm told that corned beef in a stolen pot tastes better. No. None of that's true. And I started witnessing to Tristan. He's a Viking. A follower of Odin. Yeah, Odin, Odin's one of the gods. He's the Allfather. And if you think he's kidding, you mean those mystical gods? Bill, he would do this. Mystical to you. Yeah. I saw him do that to somebody. I didn't say it, but you mean those mystical gods? Mystical to you. And his world fell apart. He called me Thanksgiving Day. This past Thanksgiving. Having a good day? I said, I am. He said, I'm not. What happened? And he told me, the world's falling apart. I said, come on out. He said, nah, it's Thanksgiving. You need to spend the time with your family. I said, come on out. The snow was high. I said, I'll meet you out on the highway. He's driving a Dodge Charger, and I didn't want him to drive into my road. So I said, I'll meet you out on the highway. So I walked out on the highway. I said, if you leave right now, I'll meet you out there. Well, time will be about right. And we met on the highway, and we rode and talked, and he brokenheartedly told me what's going on. What a mess. All the results of sin. That's a finger of accusation. No, it's not. Whether it's his life or my life, you know, back in the days before Christ. He says, well, I know God is always with me. And I said, excuse me, I'm not looking for a fight. But what God are you talking about? He says, the only God, Jesus Christ. I said, pull over. Pulled over at Georgetown Lake and led him to Christ. We meet on Wednesdays. I went in there the first Wednesday and the phone rang. We're in his pawn shop. Business is open. I said, you need to get that? He said, I hired people to get that. Let's have our Bible study. Pray for Tristan. Rough stuff going on in his life. He's probably the most worldly man that I have ever led to Christ. My earliest memories of life were being in a bar with my dad. And we were worldly. Our earliest dates were in the bars in Butte, Montana as 17-year-olds. And yet this guy's just a worldly man. He's learning. He's growing. It's good. The gospel tells of God's grace. The gospel is humanly transmitted. Do you catch that? Look what he says here. As you also learned of Epaphras. The gospel is humanly transmitted. God could have used angels. And in fact, there's some indication there that the angels are kind of perplexed at why God uses us. And yet, you people of Colossae, you learn this from Epaphras. You can say those of you. You learn it from Matt, those of you who have come to Christ under his ministry. And not that man gets the glory no matter what. He says, our dear fellow servant, who is to you a faithful minister of Christ. What did he do? He declared unto us your love in the Spirit. What do you need to do? You need to recognize that the gospel is humanly transmitted, and you need to declare unto God, declare unto the people your love. Declare unto them the love of Christ. This is Tom and Jolene. They're ranchers in the Deer Lodge Valley. And I met them early in the days of COVID. Everything was shut down, even slaughterhouses. They found someone to do the slaughtering for them. And they're selling their stuff out of a big trailer. They put three big freezers in the trailer. And I witnessed to them right away and found out she was a believer. I says, is your husband Tom safe? She says, you know, we're so busy raising kids and everything. Kids are out of the house now. But we're so busy raising kids, we never got around to talk about that. And I'm not poking fun. That's life. And so I started witnessing to him, kept witnessing to him, said, can we start a Bible study? When I felt like I had a rapport enough with him, could I come out, Terry and I'll come out and have a Bible study with you guys? And he said, sure, that'd be good. First night I shared the gospel with him, and I said, do you understand this? He said, yeah, you ever heard it before? No, I haven't. I said, well, let me come back next week. See, I don't want my converts. He was enthused. I don't want emotional decisions. Let me come back next week. If the Holy Spirit's working on him today, the Holy Spirit... Now, I know you need to be on top of things. But by the same token, the Holy Spirit's not a butterfly. You know, like a butterfly garden? There's butterflies out there today, but maybe not tomorrow. The Holy Spirit's not a butterfly. So we went back the next Monday, and there was no stopping him. And it wasn't, oh boy, yee-haw! It wasn't, he's just a smooth guy. You ready? You believe that you're a sinner? Yep. You believe Christ died for your sins? Yep. Believe you can't save yourself? Yep. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to receive Christ as Savior? Yep. Just steady. That's been his whole life, is being steady. And he prayed to receive Christ. And I said, you may feel something, you may not feel something. It's not a matter of feelings. Emotions are our weakest point in our life. Our emotions are our weakest point. Salvation is God's deepest work. God doesn't do his deepest work in our emotions. It's not an emotional decision. Does it affect emotions? Yes. Some people more than others. But you think, well, I prayed to receive Christ as Savior and I'm not jumping up and down spitting nickels. Maybe I didn't get saved. No. If you pray to receive Christ as your Savior, then believe the word of God that he saved you. So we learned that of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. And so I remind you, that which is divinely given must be humanly transmitted. You must pass it on. That's what we're supposed to do. Here's what I'm going to do, Pastor Matt. I'm going to give them an opportunity to have a time of silent prayer. And would you come, and if you want to point that in a direction to receiving Christ or anything else, you come and do that. Give us about 40 seconds, would you? 40 seconds of silent prayer. So what I want you to do now is bow your heads. I'm going to quit talking in a minute. Bow your heads. Talk to God about this. What kind of decisions have you made? Talk to God about decisions. Maybe God has brought some people to your mind that you need to be witnessing to, then talk to God about that. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, oh Lord God, you know the hearts of everyone here. You know our very thoughts. You know our need, our hurts, our struggle, our joys. And Heavenly Father, there may be a work that the Holy Spirit is doing. I believe there is a work that the Holy Spirit is doing in lives right now as we have observed the power of the gospel. The Apostle Paul also wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, anyone who believes." And Father, I realize that there may be some here today who haven't accepted your way of salvation, yes? I thank you for Brandon's decision that he's been working on for quite a while, but came together today by your work. There may be others that are ready to make that decision today too. Father God, I ask you that they would seek me out, my dear wife, or Bill, or Terry, and Father, that this would be the day of salvation for them, where they have a new future and a new hope and a Savior forever. But Lord God, I also realize that some may be struggling with their personal lives, and that they need to yield to the Holy Spirit for changes that need to take place. And I ask you that they'd commit that to you. If they want us to pray for them, I ask you, Father, that they would talk with one of us. But also, Father God, there may be some here today who are timid about passing on or humanly transmitting the truth of the gospel. And I realize that is why the Apostle Paul wrote that he's not ashamed of it. Father, may we not be ashamed of it. And Father God, I ask you that the Holy Spirit would work there too, and that your will would be done in this manner, that we would be faithful to you in how we live, but also in what we say, that we would be those who pass the truth and the joy of the good news on to others. Heavenly Father, I ask you too that as we enjoy a fellowship meal in just a few minutes, that you would bless our time of fellowship. Thank you for those who have brought the food, that Lord, you provided that in a temporary way, which points to the need for all your provisions that are everlasting. And Father, I ask you that that would be our focus, not the food, but the glory of Christ forever. Thank you again for the Jenkins coming, and I ask that you would bless them. And Father, I do ask you that if there's a need that someone has, that they want to include one of us, that they will not hesitate, that the Holy Spirit won't give them a allow them to be comfortable until they've made sure of the decision that you have for them to make today. I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen.
Well, let's all sing, and let's stand as we sing Victory in Jesus, and then we will enjoy a fellowship meal together after that. Victory in Jesus is number 353 in our songbooks, number 353.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and taught me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
For just a moment, if you have a decision to make or a prayer that you would like to share, a prayer request that you would like to share with someone else, I'd like to invite you to come up and meet with Bill Jenkin right here as we sing verse 2.
I heard about his healing, of his precious law revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved the air, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he had built for me in glory. Heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved the air, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory.
Amen.
We're dismissed to set up tables and gather, of course, around a meal. But any questions you have for Brother Jenkin or myself, please ask, and we'll take the time. What a great time of fellowship I'm looking forward to. Thank you, everyone, for bringing the food, and let's gather as soon as we can after the tables are set up.